Come, the beautiful story of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And we're reading the chapter about Maharaj Nini, how he meets the nine Yogendras and gets so many wonderful questions answered for our benefit and everybody's benefit. We're on text 44. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Rajavacha Atha Bhagavatam Bhruta Yad-dharmo yad-risho nrinam Itha-charti yad-bhute Yarlingar Bhagavat-priyaha Sri Rajavacha Atha Bhagavatam Bhruta Yad-dharmo yad-risho nrinam Yatha charti yad bhute Yarlingar Bhagavat Priya. Sri Rajavacha, the king spoke. Atha, next, Bhagavatam, about the devotee of the personality of Godhead. Bhuta, please tell me, yet dharmaha, having what duties? Yadrishaha, having what nature? Rinam, among men. Yatha, how? Acharti, he behaves. Yet, what? Bhuti, he speaks. Yai, by which? Lingai, visible symptoms. Bhagavat Priyaha, he is known as one dear to the Supreme Lord. Translation and purport. Maharaj Nini said, now please tell me in greater detail about the devotees of the Lord. What are the natural symptoms by which I can distinguish between the most advanced devotees, those on the middle level, and those who are neophytes? What are the typical religious activities of a Vaishnava, and how does he speak? Specifically, please describe those symptoms and characteristics by which Vaishnavas become dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. report. The great sage Kavi has informed King Mimi about the general external symptoms of a devotee of the Lord, namely his appearance, personal qualities, and activities. But now King Mimi asks how to make further distinctions among the servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead so that the first class, second class, and lower classes Vaishnavas can be clearly identified. According to Srila Rupa Goswami, Krishneti Yasha Giri Tam Mana Sadhuta, one should mentally honor any devotee who chants the holy name of the Lord, the Goswami. Any living entity who is faithfully chanting the holy name of Krishna is to be considered a Vaishnava, and at least within the mind is to be offered respect. But for practical advancement in Krishna consciousness, one should associate at least with a second-class devotee. And if one can receive the mercy of a first-class devotee of the Lord, one's perfection is very easily guaranteed. Thus, Mimi Maharaj is humbly inquiring, what are the character, behavior, and speech of devotees? The king wants to know the particular symptoms of body, mind, and speech by which the different categories, Uttama Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, and Kanishta Adhikari, are clearly identified. In response to the king's inquiry, another of the Navayogendras, namely Havi, will give a further elaboration of the science of Krishna consciousness. So we're getting some very nice questions asked by Maharaj Nimi and some perfect answers. And here we're learning a little bit about Vaishnava behavior. Yesterday we heard quite a bit about it. And now we're going to hear a little bit more about the different classes of or levels of Vaishnavas. But it's noted here, which I'd like to elaborate on a little bit, is that anyone who is actually chanting the holy name is considered as a Vaishnava and should be, is worthy of respect. So those people that are on the streets and they're chanting Hare Krishna and along with us, maybe mocking us, they're chanting Hare Krishna. Here it describes that they're chanting with faith, then that person is considered to be a Vaishnava, worthy of respect. But we know that Lord Chaitanya's mercy in giving the holy name to everybody, that person, although mockingly, will make some baby steps now towards Krishna. And so there, we give them our association and encourage them to keep chanting very nicely. And hopefully in this lifetime or very soon after, they will progress on the path back home, back to Godhead. It's also described here that there's a difference between the external behavior of a devotee and then the internal consciousness, what's going on inside. Although Srila Prabhupada has said that the face is the index of the mind, but it's not always that clear. And where our ability to discriminate is not so clear. Sometimes it's very much clouded over by our imperfections and our conditioning. So we can sometimes get confused on seeing different devotees and trying here, as it's saying, trying to categorize them. So we have to be very careful, and we're sure to get some very good instructions in the next few verses about how to do that. When I went to the first year I went to India in 1975, Prabhupada understood our neophyte level. And he also was very protective of us because he knew that our discrimination was not so great. And that when we went to Vrindavan in India, especially seeing some of the residents of Vrindavan in states of ecstasy or different exhibitions of devotion, that we might get confused. And so I remember a couple times during that 1975, that time, he actually encouraged us not to associate outside so much, because he knew that we might get bewildered and be confused on, is this a pure devotee rolling on the ground, or is this a sahajya, or is this a false guru, and so he more or less asked us to stay at home in his temples and hear from him. So we can also now hear from these great sages, Javier, and hopefully our discrimination can become a little bit sharper, because it's very difficult for us. Even now it's a little bit sharper, but still, because of those clouds and because it's so easy to associate with other devotees on the internet, sometimes we can get confused who actually is on that higher level and who's on a lower level. So Prabhupada was very protective of us. Srila Prabhupada also exhibited himself, his different relationships with his godbrothers. We just heard a second ago about how he was discouraged by some of the activities, but he always insisted when we were in India to give respect, and he always gave respect, at least mentally or verbally, to his godbrothers. And some other godbrothers, he would joke and be laughing. The servants would say that they would be in Bengali and they would be practically rolling on the floor discussing this camaraderie of some of his godbrothers. So Prabhupada also was discreet in his matter of seeing the different levels of devotees. But for us, we should understand that we don't want any elephant offenses, and that's for us to see all the devotees as more advanced. It's nice here that we are going to be reminded of that constantly, and we should, when our chanting, also think of ourselves as lower than all the other devotees, so that we can chant properly and gain some advance in that regard. And above all, like it says here, that we should see that the hearts of the devotees are resting places of Govinda. And so when we're saying our respects, namaste, and everything, that we're actually, Govinda is in everyone's heart, along with that soul. So that person, everyone, is actually worthy of respect. So this is what the six Goswamis exhibited. They went around, and I think it was Raghunath Das would find 1,000 devotees or more every day and pay his respects to them. Going around Govardhan Hill, he would find everyone, and not just namaste, but full of dandabas and respects to all the Vaishnavas, taking the dust on his head. So this is a very nice example. They were also considered in the prayers of the six Goswamis that they would be equal to the ruffians and to the exalted devotees the same. They were actually above the level of discrimination and giving the mercy to everyone. If you look at one of Bhaktisiddhanta's songs, it's, I think it's called Vaishnav K, that actually it's describing what kind of Vaishnav are you? And he also gives guidances too, that so many people are chanting Hare Krishna, and but some are doing it out of pride. Those might be thinking that they can go chant 100,000 rounds in solitude, but within their hearts, the pride is getting stronger, and very soon they will fall away from the path. So it is very easy to misjudge devotees, and we should shy on the side of giving respect to all, thinking everyone's more advanced. And this judging of devotees really isn't our main business. We don't go around thinking, Kanishtha, Majjam, Uttama. We've got better things to do with our time. And it can be very dangerous. It can actually, I've had experience that I've mentally judged someone, and then I all of a sudden hear them open their mouth, and I'm like, whoa, wow, such an exalted person. And unfortunately, many of the times we don't appreciate the devotees for their real value. We're thinking judging them as something else until they're gone, until they die. Shesha Prabhu gave a very nice article one time. It was called The Unknown Soldier. This was after Samapriya had left her body. And very much unknown to the regular devotees in the community and everything. But when you heard her son say how she and her two kids lived in a station wagon, and with hardly anything, so that they could save the money to put the stamps on the letters going to the prisoners. You know, you think, oh, I missed that association. You know, an unknown soldier. So grab all the association you get from every devotee. There's something from everyone, because they might be gone very soon. And then we will lament. Like it says in the prayers of the departed Vaishnavas, that I simply want to break my head on the stone. I want to crash it on this marble because I missed that association. So don't let that happen. There's a very nice story about one great devotee. His name is Bhima. And he was very busy in serving the devotees and on his way across some fields going somewhere and very much in a hurry and stomping on the ground, going very quickly. And all of a sudden he comes across an obstacle in the middle of the road. And he looks and it's the tail of a monkey. And he, out of respect, he doesn't want to step over anybody. And he looks and he sees that this is a gray-haired old monkey. And he says, come on, can you move your tail so I can go by? You know, you're like, yeah, you old monkey, just come on, don't give me a hard time, you old thing. And the monkey goes, oh, you know, I'm very old in my years, and I just don't have the energy. I don't think I can move that tail. But if you like, you can pick it up and move it some, and then go on your way. I see you're very much in a hurry. And so, you know, something else to worry about. He goes and grabs the tail and cannot budge it one inch. Even with all his strength, he cannot budge that thing. And he grunts and he groans and he's looking at this monkey, and then he realizes that I totally misjudged this person. This must be Hanuman. And so again, he pays his respects and learns a lesson. So we also should learn that lesson and not commit any mistake in misjudging devotees. We can also misjudge the other way too. Unfortunately, we can think, oh, this person is so advanced, and then maybe get disappointed that, oh, this bad habits condition of this devotee has made him not really at the highest level. So that's a time when we can give our association to those devotees and try to help them back on the path. As Prabhupada said, we're in the shower. You know, we're getting clean. And because we're so conditioned, it doesn't happen overnight. So we can also give our association and help them make some more advancement. You can imagine how tolerant Srila Prabhupada was dealing with us. He's not picking us up out of the garbage can and brushing us off a little bit and trying to make us appear as a devotee. He was very, very tolerant. He's standing in line for the bathroom, washing the dishes of the devotees. And even further down the road, we're making so many mistakes, trying to correct us without discouraging us, trying to encourage us all the way. And he actually pushed us. He pushed us forward to a mudjum platform. I don't know, I remember the first day I joined. Even that same day, I was there giving out pamphlets, telling people to chant Hare Krishna. I didn't know who Krishna was, but they said, yeah, just do this, you know, this is what we do. And, you know, the second day I was out there giving my realizations, yeah, this is great, it's a science of yoga, you know, still trying to figure out exactly what I was doing. So Prabhupada pushed us, he wanted us to become mudjum. How merciful he was. He came down from the Uttama platform for mudjum, and he's pushing us up to that, also that same platform of preaching and making other people devotees. So very, very merciful. Of course, we're so fortunate that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us this Harinam Sankirtan, where all levels, all classes, no matter who, where in the universe, what we look like, what we speak, we can all participate in contacting Krishna and receiving this this love of Godhead. So we should definitely take advantage of that. Lord Chaitanya himself, he went around all of India, embracing the lepers and encouraging everyone, the lowest people, despite the ridicule from all the upper class people. But he did. He developed a love of God within everyone who he came in contact with. So this is really the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. But he also discriminated. When I think he was in Varanasi or Kashi or somewhere like that, he said that, actually, I'm getting so many invitations to take lunch, but I think I will only take the lunch of those that are chanting one lakh of names of the whole, of every day. So if that is an impetus to chant more around, nothing is. You know, if you knew that if you were chanting 100,000 names of Krishna, that Lord Chaitanya would come eat. Of course, I wouldn't have time to cook anything for him because I wouldn't know to get my mouth done. But he also discriminated, but to encourage it, the devotees to become more pure. So Lord Chaitanya also had a very nice program where he would take devotees, new devotees, and he would put them in the care of another devotee. Another advanced devotee. Even with monks of Goswami, he would say, oh, here, take this Gopal Bhat in your care, Raghunath Das. This devotee, you go here with that devotee to help everyone become more advanced just by giving their association. So this is very nice. Now, I would like to, I don't know about you, but I'm really thirsty to hear Krishna's pastimes right before Janmashtami. And I suggest next year that a week before that we actually, one time we did this, we give all the speakers one part of Krishna, the pastimes or their philosophy or something ahead of time so that we're at the peak of our Krishna consciousness when it happens. But in relation to this purport, and I know everyone's in a hurry to get busy in Krishna service, but I'll say a few things about how Krishna also discriminates with the different levels of devotees. Beginning with his respect to his elders. Baby Krishna, he would, out of respect for Nanda Maharaj, he would go and he'd take the shoes of Nanda Maharaj and carry them on his head very awkwardly. In respect to his, and bring them to his father. I'm sure they're probably those big old wooden shoes or the ones with the big curly things, so it probably wasn't very easy. His head wasn't so small, but everyone would just love to see this. And I love hearing about this picture in Krishna carrying those shoes on his head. And he was, in general, very respectful to all the elder Vaishnavas, but sometimes he was not. And so I'm going to read you a few pastimes about how he was actually gave some of the respected Vaishnavas, even the old ladies, a hard time. So this is, when the teeth are distinctly visible in a smile, that is called vihasita. One day, when Krishna was engaged in stealing butter and yogurt in the house of Jatila, he assured his friends, "My dear friends, I know that this old lady is now sleeping very profoundly because she is breathing very deeply. Let us silently steal butter and yogurt without making any disturbance." But the old lady, Jatila, was not sleeping, so she could not contain her smiling, and her teeth immediately became distinctly visible. This is an instance of vihasita smiling. In a state of smiling, when the nose becomes puffed and the eyes squint, and the smiling is called... when tears from the eyes are added to the smiling and the shoulders are shaking, the smile is called apahasita. When child Krishna was dancing in response to the singing of the old maidservant Jarati, Narada was astonished. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who controls all the movements of great demigods like Brahma, was now dancing to the indications of the old maidservant. Seeing this fun, Narada also began to dance, and his shoulders trembled and his eyes moved. Due to this, his smile and his teeth also became visible. On account of the glare and effulgence from his teeth, the clouds in the sky turn silver. When a smiling person claps his hands and leaps in the air, the smiling expression changes into atihasita, or overwhelming laughter. An example of atihasita is manifested in the following incident. Krishna once addressed Jarati thus, "My dear good woman, the skin of your face is now slackened, and your face exactly resembles a monkey's. As such, the king of the monkeys, Bali Mukha, has selected you as his worthy wife." While Krishna was teasing Jarati in this way, she replied that she was certainly aware of the fact that the king of the monkeys was trying to marry her, but she had already taken shelter of Krishna, the killer of many powerful demons, and therefore she had already decided to marry Krishna instead of the king of the monkeys. On hearing this sarcastic reply by the talkative Jarati, all the cowherd girls present there began to laugh very loudly and clap their hands. This laughter, accompanied by the clapping of the hands, is called atihasita. Sometimes there are indirect sarcastic remarks which also create atihasita circumstances. An example of one of such remarks is a statement which was made by one of the cowherd girls to Kutila, the daughter of Jatila and sister of Abhimanyu, the so-called husband of Radharani. Indirectly, Jatila was insulted by the following statement. "My dear Kutila, daughter of Jatila, your breasts are as long as string beans. And your noses and your beauty of the noses of frogs, and your eyes are more beautiful than the eyes of dogs. Your lips defy the flaming cinders of fire, and your abdomen is as beautiful as a big drum. Therefore, my dear, beautiful Kutila, you are the most beautiful of all the cowherd girls of Vrindavan, and because of your extraordinary beauty, I think you must be beyond the attraction of the sweet flowing of Krishna's blue." So, he could be sometimes a little disrespectful. But in general, he respected Nanda Maharaj so greatly that when Mother Yasoda would be calling, "Oh, Krishna, come home, will you please come home and take your lunch?" And then finally, Krishna said, "No way, we're playing, we're having a good time, the cowherd boys are happy here." And then, the mother would say, Yasoda would say, "But your father, Nanda Maharaj, is waiting for prasadam for you." Then Krishna would say, "Okay, let's go. So he was very respectful that way. He also saved Nanda Maharaj from a snake. What was his name? Vidya, right. And that's a very interesting story in regards to discretion and in disrespect of, according to outside external behavior. And that personality was very beautiful. And he was noticing that this, what was his name? Okay, that's all for a name. But the devotee that he's, Angira Muni, he saw him, and I guess he was not very beautiful, not very handsome, it was actually quite ugly features. And he laughed, and he made fun of this great sage, this great devotee, and then he was cursed to become a lizard. But Krishna, that was the snake, yeah. Is that the snake? Or that was, yeah, the lizard was King Nigger. He also saved a lizard, right? Krishna, even the animal species, King Nigger was in the whale, but he also saved him. And so also the teachers, he gave respect to his teachers. He became, he also saved the sons of his teachers in respect, went down to Sitala and demanded them be saved. And he also was such a good student. That also is very pleasing to your teacher if you're a very good student. And of course, Krishna and Balaram got A's on everything. They would learn every 64 art, they'd learn one art a day and never forget it. So that was very nice of them. And then the friends. Krishna has camaraderie with all his friends. Who can name the four different kinds of friends of Krishna? Okay, in English, they are well-wishing friends. They're simply friends, confidential friends, and intimate friends. And so Krishna and his friends, they have a very nice relationship. getting up early in the morning, they'd be waiting for them, Krishna, to get up. And then they would go to the barn and wrestle. And then they would go all eat together. And then they would go to the cowherd fields and play. And sometimes even Krishna would have to save them. Just like when they went to the bank of the river and drank at the Kaliya Lake, and they drank the water and died. And also the cows were there, and Krishna brought them all back to life. So, and then there's one wonderful pastime where Krishna would be the butt end of the jokes that they would play amongst themselves. And that was one time then when they were honoring prasadam together, which was a very joyful time, everyone eating and sharing the prasadam and everything. And one devotee says, Krishna, just close your eyes, open your mouth. I have something very wonderful I want to share with you. And so he went in the friend, opened his mouth, yes. And Krishna, his friend, dropped a flower in his mouth. And hit his very disfigured face. But these are some of the pastimes that Krishna would enjoy with his friend. And of course, Arjuna was a great friend. It's described in Bhagavad Gita, I think, somewhere, that Krishna and Arjuna would lay on the same bed together. And so this was also very intimate, a different kind of relationship Krishna would have from his friend. And we mentioned Krishna rescuing the cows and the cow boys from Kaliya Lake, but also the cows, wonderful friends, and he had to rescue the cows from a forest fire one time. So he didn't discriminate that the cows were any different than all his other devotees. And daily he would massage the cows, decorate the cows, feed the cows, clean their barn made of crystal and gems. And of course that other animal, his pets, he loved different pets. Does anyone know the name of any of his pets? The deer's name? And that was that one. And I don't know any of them. There's a booklet out with the pet's names. But he also had relationships with his pets. And of course Mother Yasoda's there. Krishna had a wonderful relationship with Mother Yasoda. Always, again, not so respectful, always teasing her and stealing from her, but for her enjoyment only. And he offered his gratitude by rescuing her sons, the ones that were killed by Kamsa. And he brought them back for a brief time. And sometimes Krishna would also play the role of a superior. Even to great demons, he had to chastise them. And one such demon is Shishupal. And he was very tolerant of Shishupal. 100 times he took the offenses of Shishupal. But at the end, he gave him his mercy in a different way. Off with his head. So these are some of the different relationships that Krishna has with different classes of devotees. But you see that it's all in service. So the most important thing that I get from this this purport is that the safest road is to always have a respectful and service attitude to all the devotees, even if it's from a distance, but always that attitude. And that will make us more humble so that we can really relish the holy name. Because coming together and chanting together is so important for our advancement. And when we all come together, all the differences go away. If you look at the Gita Nagari prophecy, there are certain things that come right to my mind. And the first one is that he's trying to establish like a Varnashram system in there, but he says that daily, both morning and evening, all the different ashrams and all the different orders should come together and have kirtan together. So that's the most important thing, because all the different differences go away. And we can all relish the association of Krishna, which is the ultimate goal. And so this we should remember in the Lord's appearance day tomorrow, how Krishna was encouraging in different ways by dealing with different devotees and always serving them in some way or the other. So we should take opportunity and find that there's so much service to do, and actually serving with the other devotees is a most relishable way to enjoy these celebrations. I find that we were just discussing, like, Richard and I spent 7 hours in the kitchen yesterday cooking for Prabhupada, and we're just remembering that that's when you have such wonderful relationships together, when you're serving Krishna together. And it's unfortunate if people don't get that experience of the festivity high that you get. You know, like we were in the kitchen, and then this person would come in and doing the flowers, and another person would come in and figuring out how to find room for the boga, and another person would come and say, I'm doing the night dressing before, and can I steal your flowers from the yard? Another person said this, and it's just like it's the peak of your Krishna consciousness of what it's like to be with Krishna and all the Vaishnavas, especially in the celebration of his appearance day. So I beg of you, find some service to do with the devotees, and especially on Janmashtami day, there's so much service to do. And then you'll really enjoy the celebration even more. So, if there's any other questions, or maybe there's some other examples you'd like to add to help us remember Krishna, in other ways that Krishna enjoyed relationships with his different devotees.
Okay. I want your sincere answer. Sometimes I try to think all others are advanced, but I cannot maintain. After a while, I fail. I mean, I forget. I don't even think they are more advanced. I don't even think anything. How do I? You have any suggestion? How can I? I mean, practice is probably most, but is there any other tips, like how to really maintain that mood?
Well, our business isn't to analyze everybody all the time. It's to relish everyone's association. So you'll do that in different ways. So it's not that you have to see everyone as advanced, as we'll hear in the next few verses. You can just, you know, respect them from a distance if you want. You don't have to think about them so much. This person's that, this person's that. Of course, it's nice if you can see something good in everybody, not go around and see something bad in everybody. But it's okay to not have to have a relationship with every devotee, but to appreciate them in some way. It's not an exercise that we have to keep going. Just relish all different associations. It's fun to give instructions to devotees. You know, people ask, what can I do? Okay, do this. That's fun too. And they like it. So you also can give, you can also receive the instructions, and you can also hug your devotees like you do when you come in your temple every day. You hug all the devotees. So.
Well, I find it helps that if we have the same humble attitude for all living entities, not just devotees, but every other living entity that we come in contact with, that practice makes it a lot easier to be lower than a straw on the street, tolerant like a tree, and to extend that outside of the temple and outside of our small association of devotees to every living entity.
Even red ants?
Every living entity. I know, it's hard.
I fail at that.
Even born-again Christians, but it's really hard.
The red ants are the hardest. They're harder than me.
Practical reality. If somebody's eating hot dog, I mean, I understand constitutionally he's positioned as the eternal servant of Krishna. But how do you want me to really, I mean, I really want...
You can be amazed at what a great devotee Maya is. That they have covered that person over so much.
Thank you.
And you'll get more and more amazed as Kali Yuga progresses to see how many tricks Maya and what density she can cover things with. No end to it. Okay, hi Brian and Ragatma.
Just in reply with that last question, You know, Prabhupada, someone asked Prabhupada, something about his first the devotees that he made his disciples, that they were meat eaters and drunkards and everything, you know, drug addicts. So how was it that Bhakti Siddhanta, what was the question? Somebody may clarify this, but he said, the thing is that when I came and I called you, or, you know, to get you, you immediately came, you dropped all of that. So that clarified what was the, anyway, in other words, they were all eating hot dogs and we were all doing all this stuff, but because we stopped it. So any individual you see like that, they're a potential, it could just change. We have to see beyond the moment.
I mean, I look at myself. If I see somebody eating hot dog, and what Mother Agati says also, that Mayadevi is such a great servant of Krishna that she wielded this true position child, servant of Krishna, into this illusion. So automatically compassion, I guess, arises. That's the key, probably.
And then you can also think of Prabhupada. Yes. What miracle he has done.
So,
hi, Parayana was not.
I was just thinking that with this question of somebody eating a hot dog, how should we view them? I mean, I remind myself that I am not self-realized yet. You know, I don't know if I'm the soul. I haven't realized Krishna. And that maybe I'm wrong about my views and my path. You know, there are the Christians and the Muslims, and there are all kinds of people and all kinds of viewpoints. So unless I advance to such an extent that now I know the truth, I should just chug away on my path and not be judgmental about others, because what do I know? I could be wrong completely.
But you should also try to help those people. That's the Mugen platform. That not just I'm not good. They're not good. But my position is now that I should try to help that person with what I do.
So you were speaking about service earlier, and the festival is coming up.
Would you like a list?
Yeah, I'll answer that just now. But what I've been hearing and seeing also is that, like, after the programs, there's a lot of things to be done, especially like cleaning and stuff. And even to get one person to help is very difficult. So I think people that are listening to and here, we have to think about it. You know, we might be as advanced as whatever really, but still we should make an try to set a little example and help in some way or the other. I mean, there's, you know, if you try to get one person to go wash some pots or do something, it's so difficult, you know. So I want people to be conscious of this. Everybody, you go and have a nice feast, and after, you know.
It's not that difficult to wash a pot, especially if you do it in groups. A buddy system's nice. Right?
Yeah, you know.
Like we're doing all these beans. It's easier. You know, I had Katie here trying to do beans yesterday by herself. Not much fun, but much more fun when you have all the people around. Okay, there's a lot to do. You want to make one comment and then we can stop.
So when I first joined the temple, I remember they talked about not making offenses and judging other devotees. And I was told, like, when you bow down, you should use both hands. And immediately somebody came in and she used one hand to bow. And my mind thought, oh, is that correct? And I stopped myself and decided from that day forward I would never judge if it was correct or not, because I don't know these people. I don't know their advancement. And then we went out on book distribution, and this was in Berkeley. And I was a brand new devotee, and I got a bunch of the flowers off the altar, and we were walking down the street, and there was a homeless man laying on the ground, completely what I thought was unconscious, and his head was cocked up on the concrete wall as though that was his pillow. And I thought I would sneak a flower into his brown paper bag, you know, give him a little flower from Krishna. So I snuck over there really quietly, and I tiptoed, and I put the flower in the bag, and I turned away to continue walking. He sat up, and he slurred out of his mouth and said, "I want to go to Krishna Loka." And, and he just, "Krishna Loka," and then he passed out again. And I decided, see, I cannot judge, because I can only hope to remember Krishna at all moments of my life, so I thought I'd share that.
Hare Nam Ki Jai. Krishna Ki Jai. Krishna Jamasana Ki Jai.